Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 16th of June, recording at 9:26 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. More selling pressure in stock markets. The Asian markets were noticeably weaker this time, including Indonesia, a relative strength standout on the upside. Still is overall, but falling back from its highs a bit. The China markets, more importantly, were weak. The Hong Kong down 1.75%. Australia took a hit today, down 1.92%. The Nikkei down 1.7%. The European stock markets were quite weak earlier on, but pared down losses. I mean, the DAX and a few others closed almost unchanged. And they did that as the Wall Street market rallied a bit. I mean, Wall Street rallied, then gave up the gain, and then rallied a bit towards the close on some of the indices. The Dow up half a percentage point. And then S&P had a much smaller gain, up 2.2 points, and the NASDAQ composite was down a fraction. Long-dated government bond prices were strong across the boards. That means among the various futures contracts. Really from Australia through to the USA, and including Europe and Canada. The U.S. dollar, I'm just seeing, was just a little bit mixed in here. As I look, it's down against, the Australian's down slightly against the dollar. Euro's up a fraction, sterling down a tiny bit, but it's quite a quiet day here for the U.S. dollar. In precious metals, against that background, gold slipped $1.8. That's currently but it's steady overall. It's currently $15.29. Palladium and platinum have done worse in here recently, donning more of the industrial metal mantle, and platinum's down to $17.58, palladium down to $7.56. Silver today up a tad, 12 cents. crude oil barely changed on the WTI contract, which is currently at $94.92. Brent, I believe, is up a dollar. I think it's at around 114. Industrial metals were weaker for the most part, as were most agricultural commodities. I think sugar, sugar was a little bit firmer. Wheat sold off. But the grain and bean complex has sold off. And that's interesting. More on that in a minute. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, we've certainly got a full-blown stock market correction taking place here, and you don't have to look too far for the problems that are pushing it along. The ongoing Greek chorus is affecting sentiment beyond just the Eurozone, and it is hitting the European banking sector particularly hard. Owen's done a good piece on that today in his comment of the day. Then in the growth economies, which are what Fuller Money likes most in terms of secular themes, both India and China have raised interest rates again this week, and that's taking a toll. Although I've got a report that's just come out saying that India may slow its increases, and the general feeling is we're very close to the end of this hiking cycle. I think that's probably true, but overall, if we talk about India, China, and most of these other stock markets, there is no evidence now that this correction is, there's still no evidence this correction is over. A lot of indices are showing short-term oversold condition. That's why I jumped the gun on looking for some technical rallies, temporary technical rallies, a couple of days ago. Hopes that were quickly dashed by yesterday's additional weakness. We are seeing some capitulation selling in here. Now, capitulation selling tends to come in the latter stages of a decline. In some markets, like India, has well, that's been declining. That hit its peak in November, and so this is quite a long slide. And China, you've got to go back even earlier. So I think we're in the latter stages of this. The latter stages can be the most dramatic part if you get some of the this is some capitulation selling, which was predictable and predicted, and we see evidence of it. And it will make people, as I have cautioned, it'll make people more nervous, more bearish. It always induces that emotive reaction. It'll cause people to extrapolate beyond what's actually justified more often than not. But just think back to other previous sell-offs, and don't just consider 2008, because that's one that well, you've got to hang around. You'll probably, I think we'll probably have to hang around quite a while to see something like that again. But if you just go back and remember the April to through August decline that we saw last year, that was very frightening, and sentiment became extremely bearish. And when people are frightened, and when sentiment is extremely bearish, we have a great buying opportunity. And I don't think it's going to be any different this time. But in terms of monetary policy, I go back to that when I was talking about India and China hiking rates in here. The trouble is that the trend is to rate increases, and these central banks have not signaled that this policy is over, although this article that I'm posting today from India says that indicates that they think they're quite near the peak in the interest rate hikes. Central banks are crisis oriented, and they respond to the problem, and then they tend to overdo it, and then have to start reversing policy. But it'll probably take at least one interest rate, and possibly two or three, to turn the global stock market tanker, super tanker, around and push markets back up. To hazard a guess with something like India, and I had an email on that that I posted today. I mean, my hunch is, having seen a peak in November, and we had all the corruption stories to the credit of India's media. They have publicized this every step of the way. The corruption is far more insidious if there's no mention of it, but the sense of outrage coming out of India has certainly increased. And that's good news, because that's a catalyst for change. So my feeling is that we are well through this move overall. It would probably be prudent to anticipate some more capitulation selling. So things get a little bit worse before they get a lot better, is the way I would put it. A lot better over the medium term, and worse over the short term, in all probability. Again, I think I've already mentioned it, but a point worth repeating. On short-term indicators, we are oversold, but in a correction, you stay oversold for a long time. I don't think that there's too much upside in the very short term, I think we're much more likely to go a little bit lower in the short term. Okay. What about when we have gone through this cycle and the Chinese and the Indians start, and some other growth economies announce that they have completed their cycle of high interest rates? Well, that will require weaker inflation pressures in those countries, obviously. It will require clear evidence of slower GDP growth in those countries. But to put that in perspective, you know, they plunge from 10 down to 6, 7, 8%, probably on the higher side of that range, and that's still pretty good, not very good for, in terms of the long term growth prospects. Now, when that happens, I think those markets, those favorite fuller money themes led by Asia, and I think this time they will be led by Asia. Sometimes South America has been right up there, but I don't think it will be next time. I'd expect the Asian growth markets, that excludes Japan, from leading the way on the upside, with the ASEAN sector very much to the fore. But we're not there yet. We're still in this corrective phase, and this is still a period of historic underperformance for stock markets more often than not. Okay, long-dated government bonds. Well, for someone who's short U.S. 30-year Treasury bonds, I'm not happy to see all of these contracts breaking upwards here today and extending their overall rallies. It feels very masochistic, but I'm going to sweat this one out a little bit longer. In other words, I've made a short-term error, but I'm confident enough in my long-term analysis to fund this one for a while longer. But it's disappointing to have seen Wednesday's downward dynamic off. Actually, it was Tuesday's downward dynamic offset on Wednesday, and then with some additional upside follow through here here today. But I think it's all part of this nervousness, and I don't think it's QE2 that's fueling that anymore, or Chinese or Japanese buying. I think it's probably mostly coming from the banks themselves that are funding through the yield curve. Okay, what else? And I'll just say that some of the recent turbulence that we've seen there, I think probably we clearly have not seen the peak for this rally in those long-dated government bond prices. We've probably seen the penultimate peak. Sometimes, or quite frequently, trends lose their consistency at the penultimate peak, but the initial sell-off doesn't get any follow-through, and so you go a little bit higher, then fail and come off. That's what I think is the case, and certainly hope is the case. U.S. dollar, I think we could still see a somewhat steadier action here overall, but we're probably not going to see, because it's so oversold, but I'm not looking for a lot of drama here in the currency markets. Gold is the best currency. It's been the best store of wealth for millennia, and I don't think that's going to change. This is a period of seasonal underperformance for gold. The bullish seasonal period recommences in September. I'm hoping we get a little bit more consolidation, get a little closer to the rising 200-day moving average through ranging in gold bullion before we get into the September period. And There is a possibility, as I've mentioned before, that we could see some capitulation selling if and when the stock market decline looks at its most frightening. We've seen some hints of that, although it's been mostly in the other precious metals that we've seen that selling. And we've had quite a pullback in platinum and palladium. And they may have a bit further to go. But the more they pull back, the more attractive they will look, to me at any rate, in 4Q. Now, what else to mention? The grain and bean complex. Now, Evelyn Browning Garris, who writes that the Browning newsletter, she had warned that the end of La Nina, the death throes of La Nina, along with that Pacific oscillation, would cause havoc in the spring. And my goodness, hasn't it done just that? She also forecast months ago that by summer, weather conditions would be much more favorable. Now, we certainly see that in the UK. We had a severe drought early on, and the rains have increased considerably. Got a thunderstorm in London here right now, but more importantly, out in that when I was in Wales, I thought the crops looked pretty good, but I didn't wander around in the field to check them out. But I think it's been on the right-hand side of the country that the bigger problems have actually occurred in terms of drought. I suspect that's broken as well. And just in time overall. And then there have been reports that the U.S. grain and bean complex has been softening in here due to improved weather. I think we're also getting some dis-hoarding. And in terms of some of these commodity tracker funds, and have a look at something like USO. That's the energy. That's a bigger part, and that's a crude oil tracking fund, USO, listed in the United States. It's in the chart library. And talk about a serial underperformer. As you know, we do not like those commodity trackers. They widen contangos and they get beaten to death by them. And that's what's happened with USO. It's still got over $12 billion in it, and according to Bloomberg, and I think that we will see more investors coming out of those commodities, and hopefully that will drag prices down over the short to medium term. Now, Owen and I are adamant that this is, and have been for over a decade, that this is a commodity supercycle. And yet, when we get 2008, people say, "Oh no, obviously it wasn't," and they're beginning to say that again here now. Well, these commodity cycles, commodity prices in general, are very volatile. We maintain that the overall bias is upwards, but they're not going to escape corrections caused by the business cycle. 2008, early 2009, that was a massive setback because of the severity of that recession in the Western Hemisphere, and that dragged prices right down. But you noticed how quick they were to bounce back, and bounce back very strongly in most instances. Now, crude oil's last spike, as we've maintained all along, has caused a slowdown in global economic growth, coupled with the higher interest rates that had helped to induce. That's weighed on growth as well. And now commodities are weakening once again. but they're going to form lows that were higher than what we saw in 2008 following the crash. And I think over the next decade or so, we will see a lot of commodities move higher. Now, when those gains become very strong, that will cause problems, and that's as predictable can be. But right now, they are in retreat, and hopefully that retreat continues. So then we press the restart button, and commodities. You remember when I was saying in 2009 and most of last year that commodities were one of the best things going, but they would also become the next big problem. And then, as I was also saying, a problem arrived a few months ago, and now this reaction is going to hit the reset button eventually for the next move on the upside, which will probably commence gradually, and then pick up steam overall. So I think that at some point, if it's not the fourth quarter, it'll be next year, we'll get another interesting buying opportunity in a number of these commodities, in which I will certainly want to participate. But in the short term, we're more likely to see them weaken a bit further. And on that note, all the best to all of you. Roll on Friday.